As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Breaking news regarding that student at Columbia, Mahmoud Khalil, as a judge rules, he can be deported. Now, before I get into the story, I just want to mention we do have a poll running on YouTube right now. It's a little, the wording is confusing some people, so we're going to try to just clear it up real quickly. Justin, do you want to explain the three choices that you put up?
So, on our poll.
What to do with the sun is how you phrase the question. I just want to be clear. What to do with the sun?
Yeah, what to do with the sun. If you want to weigh in your opinion, go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT. Let your voice be heard. What to do with the sun? The three choices I gave our audience were, number one, leave it alone.
Leave the sun alone?
Leave the sun alone. Basically,
just don't bother the sun. Don't irritate him. Leave him alone.
It is its own celestial being, leave it alone, which in my head meant leave the timings how we have it now. You know, spring okay. Forward, fall back. Then number gotcha. Two, permanent standard time. And number three, permanent daylight savings time, which we're in now.
Okay. So just to be clear, leave it alone doesn't mean leave the sun alone, ignore the sun, pretend it's not there. It means leave the way things are where we spring forward and fall back. You leave that alone.
Yes.
You keep doing that.
Leave that choice alone. Like, leave it how our system of time is right now.
Okay. All right. Very good. Excellent. And someone's saying my camera's blurry. Is my camera blurry?
A little bit.
Let me see if I can change that. Let's see if I can fix that. There we go. See that? Push of a button. Look at that. Can't do anything about the red nose, though. That the rosacea. Which I need a good makeup artist. Let's see. Take a little powder real quick. Let's do this. A little powder on the red nose. Look at that. Make that rosacea go away. Boom. Just like that. Just like I'll be doing on Monday on Fox News, America's Newsroom, and Tuesday on Newsmax, and then Friday night for Jimmy Fallon's show. Shameless plugs. It's pathetic. It really is. It's pathetic. Thank you for sticking with the shameless plugs. I don't know how you do it. All right. So the judge has ruled that this guy, Mahmoud Khalil, can be deported. And I'm not surprised he can be deported because the Secretary of State and the President, they can decide who stays in our country. It's just the way it is. You don't have to like that. And that's understandable. I mean, there are people who are not happy with the notion of the United States of America kicking somebody out because of their speech. Understandable. They feel that the United States of America is built on freedom of speech and that therefore we should embody that in every instance, even with the people who come to this country and are here in this country legally and lawfully, as this man is. But that's the system we have. The system we have says that we don't have to keep you here. We have to keep our own citizens here. So if you're out there saying things that the government doesn't like, well, you know, the government has nothing they can do about that. And that's a good thing. However, if you come to this country and you were advocating for things that the government believes is antithetical to the United States of America. We have a long history of throwing people out of this country for that. And it doesn't have to be actions. Speech is enough. So if you were to come here and you were to advocate for the collapse of the United States of America and for capitalism to for communism to rise up, if you were to advocate for China to come and take over this country, yeah, they could boot your ass out of here and you'd be rude. I mean, I think that it's also kind of common sense. If you're a guest in someone's country, you should be polite. You should be a good guest in their country. And when I visit foreign countries, I always try to be a good guest in their country. I don't assume I have some sort of right to be there. So we were in Cancun recently. While I was there, I wasn't walking around insulting people, and I wasn't, you know, like, you know, hope he gets across before Trump gets in. Like, I was just being polite, respectful, grateful to be there, grateful to be a guest in their country. When I go to Italy, I don't do offensive things like order pineapple on pizza or go to the Olive Garden. I think it's just a matter of decorum, and that is just something that's common sense. Now, you may believe that this opens up a dangerous precedent whereby Democrats are in charge and they start kicking out Israeli students. But they could do that anyway. That's the thing. I mean, under our immigration law, you can kick out whoever you want. Unless they are a citizen, you can kick them out. Now, this is also, for some people, they don't like this fact because this guy, Khalil, they say they haven't really directly linked him to actions. They've only linked him to words that have led other people to take actions, but that still gives the government justification to kick somebody out. Words can be enough. Now, he will not be immediately deported. His attorneys have said that if he were ordered deported, they would appeal the judge's ruling. The judge, in this instance today, has now given Khalil until April 23rd to request a stay of his deportation if his attorneys believe he qualifies for one. And the judge says if they don't meet that deadline, she will order him deported either to Syria, where he was born, or to Algeria, where he is a citizen. Khalil, who has a green card, is a lawful permanent resident. In ordering Khalil's deportation, Rubio relied on a rarely used federal statute from the 1950s that played a major role in shaping American immigration during the Cold War. It is known as the McCarran-Walter Act, or the Immigration Nationality Act of 1952, which gives the Secretary of State authority to decide that a non-citizen's presence in the United States threatens the country's foreign policy goals. Now, before I go on, let me just say, like anything else, if you don't like this law, you can advocate for Congress to repeal it. But it is the law that Congress passed in the 1950s. Now, perhaps you think that that law is outdated. Perhaps you think that that law is antithetical to America. It was done at the height of the Cold War. Not really the height of the Cold War, but it was done in the early days of the Cold War and the McCarthyism. And we were, you know, kind of going around and finding commies everywhere. And we figured, well, let's get them out of our country. You could say that that was wrong to do. Or you can say that that was absolutely appropriate to do, given that we know that there are countries that have spies who have grown up as Americans their entire lives, but they're actually spies. I mean, the show The Americans is based on an actual true life story, but it's a great show nonetheless. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend you watch it. It's an excellent show, but it is based on a true story of Russians who came to this country very early on in their lives, lived their entire lives in America, and were spies. And we do the same thing to other countries. It's not like, you know, this only happens to us. But there's a reason why this law was passed in the 1950s, and primarily it was the idea that if we had people here who were advocating for the Soviet Union or for communism or any other ism that was antithetical to America, we could boot them out, whether they were a permanent legal resident or not. So I think the word permanent there might be the issue, because it's really not permanent if you kick somebody out. You know, it's like permanent legal resident if you're good, if you say the things and do the things the government likes you to do. And people have a problem with that aspect of it because they say, well, like, for example, I'll give you a good example. Our friend Dana Perino is married to a man who was a permanent legal resident. He's a British. He was born in Great Britain. He's a permanent legal resident. And, you know, this guy, Khalil, is married to an American citizen. So there's there's some concern that people have that if this is the precedent with permanent legal residence, that you could have people who are married to Americans who have American kids think they're in this country forever, and they're exercising their normal day-to-day American life, and they say the wrong thing, and then the government boots them out. And yeah, under this McCarran-Walter Act, that could absolutely 100% happen. So, like, theoretically speaking, if the government didn't like what Dana's husband was advocating for, conservative principles, say, for example, and you had AOC as president, and they really wanted to burn her, could they deport her husband under this act? Theoretically so? Yeah. Should Congress revisit that law? Knowing how politics works and knowing how people tend to use politics for political retribution all the time? Possibly. Should they maybe make the law a little bit tougher, maybe raise the bar a little bit so that mere speech doesn't, or maybe not, because this is the kind of question again of if you're not born in the United States of America, if you don't become a citizen of the United States of America, which is different from being a legal permanent resident, then you're not afforded all the protections that a citizen has. So, for example, if you come to this country, you become a United States citizen. You are now a citizen of the country. Getting your citizenship revoked at that point is a much, much more difficult process than if you are a legal permanent resident with a green card. By the way, incidentally, you can denounce your own citizenship. The government cannot take it from you, but you can denounce it. You can walk into any embassy and you can hand in your passport and you can denounce your citizenship, like Lee Harvey Oswald did, by the way. As a matter of fact, they just apparently allegedly didn't take him seriously. So they told him to think about it. But probably in hindsight, we should have probably taken him up on the deal. Right. I probably should have taken the passport from him and said, yeah, you know what? Go live in the Soviet Union and knock yourself out and your wife. Wow, that's a terrible joke. But you know what I mean? Like he was a bad dude, but. But no, you can do that. You can give up your citizenship. You have the right to do that. You walk into any American embassy or consulate around the world, by the way, and you can just hand in your passport and you can say, I hereby revoke, I give up my U.S. citizenship, and there you go. But unlike Superman giving up his powers in Superman the movie, I don't believe there's a chamber where you can go in and get your powers back. I don't know if you're going to find a crystal. I don't know how that process works if you then want to get your citizenship back. I don't know how that works. So I would just advise you to think carefully before you do it. If that is something you're kind of thinking about doing, like, you know, all these crazy celebrities that are always like, I'm going to give up my citizenship and move to another country. What they wind up doing is moving to another country. They don't give up their citizenship. They could. I mean, Rosie O'Donnell could. She could walk into the United States Embassy in Dublin or wherever it is in Ireland. I'm assuming it's Dublin. I don't know. Walk in there with her passport and say, I give up my citizenship. As long as Trump is president, I don't want to be an American citizen. And then they don't have to give it back to her. But she's not. She's just staying over there and grandstanding. None of them actually ever give up their American citizenship, because why would you? It's like the greatest thing in the world to be an American citizen. In a hearing Friday at the remote Louisiana detention center where Khalil is being held, Judge James Comins said he had no authority to question Rubio's determination. Khalil will not immediately be deported. Khalil, who was a Columbia University graduate student, led pro-Palestinian protests there last year, was detained last month after Secretary of State Marco Rubio said he had determined that Khalil's activism was anti-Semitic and that allowing him to remain in the country would undermine a U.S. foreign policy goal of combating anti-Semitism around the world. Khalil will not immediately be deported. His attorneys have time to then go through and look at it. So the law is the law. And the law is clear. It empowers the Secretary of State to make that determination. And obviously that would then empower the President of the United States to make that determination vis-a-vis his Secretary of State. Khalil was arrested March 8th at the university-owned apartment building in New York City where he lives with his wife, a U.S. citizen who is pregnant. He was and the whole pregnancy thing, sad to say, but there are people who are pregnant in prison. There are people who are married to people who are pregnant, who are in prison. We've never, under the eyes of the law, looked at pregnancy as a reason to not follow through on the law. Now, you could argue that it's mean You could argue that it's cruel. You could argue that it's not nice. But it, under our law, we tend to not view that. So in other words, like if an axe murderer was pregnant, the axe murderer is going to prison. Now, there are times when the judge might grant certain kinds of accommodations. The judge may also, if the person's nonviolent, may grant house arrest. If the person, you know, they may give visitation privileges. But typically under our law, pregnancy as itself is not some sort of separate class whereby then the punishment wouldn't apply to you. But obviously, that's one of those things where you're going to hear that his wife is pregnant a lot, because that is one of those pull on the heartstrings kind of a things, you know. Not my heartstrings. My heart is just dead and cold inside. I have no heart. But well, Friday's hearing took place in immigration court. A separate case is playing out in federal court in New Jersey over whether Khalil should have been arrested and detained in the first place. So that's playing out. But you don't have to be arrested and detained. That's also not a point under the law as it is right now in this country under this act that was passed in the 1950s. And again, you could argue the act's outdated. You could suggest that Congress should revisit the act. You could do all those things. But technically speaking, Rubio is well within his rights, as the judge acknowledged. And the judge doesn't have the right to oversee, to supersede the Secretary of State's determination. There is no appeals process under the law in order for that to occur. The act itself, passed by Congress in 1952, doesn't afford that. So it's not subject to an immigration judge saying that's okay. The Secretary of State makes a determination. So the due process that Khalil is going through right now under this process is really unrelated to the Secretary of State's determination that he should be removed and deported. And again, that's the United States has a reason to want to ensure that the people in this country are aligned with our goals, are aligned with our values, and are aligned with our beliefs and our ideals. That's what every country wants around the world. There's nothing unreasonable about that. If somebody was, you know, this was passed in 1952. Obviously, with communism, and we were now in a Cold War with the Soviet Union, who was at one time our ally in World War II. But, you know, if somebody had come over from Germany and was here advocating for Nazism, would it be, you know, as controversial if we said we don't want Nazis in this country? We're going to remove this person. The issue here that's tricky, and let's face it, is because you have a lot of people in this country who believe that what he's advocating for is not anti-Semitic. It is simply a matter of policy regarding Palestine and Israel. It's the administration's position that his views are anti-Semitic. His views are antithetical to America's position vis-a-vis Israel, and therefore he should be deported. And then, of course, if you get a Democrat president in there, they will turn around. If there's a pro-Israeli activist at a school leading a pro-Israeli protest, and if there's, you know, violence that breaks out or something, yeah, that Democrat president, if it's AOC or Bernie Sanders, might deport that student one day. Absolutely. Under this very same act, it could absolutely 100% happen. So that's where that stands. 855-839-1210 on X, if you would like to weigh in with that breaking news today. And a Pennsylvania man has been charged with threats to assault and murder President Trump. We'll talk about that as well. I see our friend Congressman Jeff Van Drews on Fox News as well at the moment, talking to Will Kane. Big Story of the Hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaVanaria, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Let Dr. Mike be your guy to get that perfect smile. And Emmons Roofing and Siding, when it comes to your home, there's no other choice but Emmons. Emmons is top rate, first rate when it comes to taking care of your home. And they're offering each and every one of my listeners a 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners on Anderson Window Replacement, doors, roofing, siding, and every other project that they do. In fact, Emmons also has a bathroom remodeling division, and Emmons remodeled my bathroom in our old house, and they did a fantastic job. I was very, very happy with the work that Emmons did. So what I want you to do is reach out to them today by going to emmonsroofing.com. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. Hey, how's your Jersey Shore house doing? You want to make sure it's okay. So have Emmons give that roof a free inspection. They'll never tell you you need a new roof if you don't. But if you do, you're going to get the best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle. the absolute best. Lifetime warranty on that roof. And 10% off inflation relief discount. Matt and Stephanie are dedicated to customer satisfaction, making sure that they hire the best people who will do the absolute best job. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Stylist Jackie, we talked about the sideburns. And we're going to work on it. Takes a couple rounds, apparently, to get the sideburns. Matt, can you send me that story? Are you there?
Which Stannis? Story? I'm here.
The one that I texted you about three times?
Oh, sorry. I didn't see it. Yeah, I'll send it right now.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. Nice that the executive producer is engaged in the show, engaged with the host.
I was creating a social media post. I didn't see your text.
What, on Daylight Savings Time?
I have one for that, and then I thought your segment on Alina Abba and the investigation into Phil Murphy in New Jersey's refusal to cooperate with ICE was also worthy of pushing on social.
Well, we should also, this should probably be a good time, we've been waiting all week on this, to remind everybody of Phil Murphy's Easter Bunny. I think this would be a good time now to play this. What do you think?
I've been dying for this moment. We've had it on the cut sheet for several days now. I mean, the show sheet, not the cut sheet. We can't say cut sheet.
Okay.
We've had it on the show sheet for several days now. This is an instant classic as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Before I do that, let me just address something, because there's a couple of tweets I wanted to address regarding this deportation of Mahmoud Khalil. So horse of a different color. Said, Rich, supporting Islamic terrorism and creating an atmosphere of fear on campus isn't free speech. I said, I agree, but it's also irrelevant in this case. See, it doesn't matter really what he did on campus. It doesn't matter whether or not it was violent or what. The law gives the Secretary of State the right to deport anybody who he believes is not good for America, short way to put it. So, you know, whether or not debating his actions, debating his words, debating all those things is nice and fun, and you can do all that if you want to. Whether or not it rises to the level of advocating violence, whether or not he's just advocating for free Palestine, whether or not he's just simply advocating for, well, you can do all that. That's fine. You're allowed to, you can have that conversation. You knock yourself out. It's not relevant to the law that the Secretary of State is invoking to kick him out of the country. It's just not. So, this is where, again, people wind up get going and engaging in things that are, there's no point to it. There's no bar here. There's no standard. There's no standard of threshold where you have to meet under the statute for the Secretary of State to deport you. It's not like, you know, you come here, you're advocating for the Soviet Union. You've got to carve a hammer and sickle into your forehead in order for the Secretary to deport you, or you got to profess your love to Vladimir Lenin or Joseph Stalin, or you got to participate in burning of Adam Smith's capitalist works. Or no, it's if you are somebody who the Secretary of State says you being here does not align with America or America's foreign policy goals, you get deported. That's it. It's not that complicated. People overcomplicate things. That law is very simple. Very simple statute. So, you know, it's just amazing to hear the debate where people are like, well, that's not free speech. It's free speech. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But understand, though, that what I'm saying here is that shoe could be on the other foot very easily if there's a Democrat in the White House who turns around if there's somebody who's a strong advocate for Israel, not doing protests, not hurting anybody, not doing anything that leads to riots, but just their mere words, just their mere advocacy of that cause is enough under the statute for the Secretary of State to deport them, to kick them out of the country. If AOC is in the White House and puts her Secretary of State and says, I want all the pro-Israel people, they are supporting genocide, and I want them out of this country. So you see, you can't turn back and go, well, yeah, but the difference is that Khalil's advocating. No, it doesn't. It's in the eye of the beholder of whoever the president and the Secretary of State are, whether or not your ideas, your beliefs, your words, whether they are actions or not, are aligned with America and America's interests and foreign policy goals under this statute.
debating whether or not his words lead to violence or whether or not his actions are free speech or not are immaterial to what the law is. So I just had to say that because, as usual, you know, I'm not saying you, horse of a different color. I'm just saying that, as usual, people online are missing that point, that very fundamental point of the power that Congress gave the Secretary of State. So, and the judge rightly so recognized that. You know, the judge in this opinion saying that this Columbia student, Mahmoud Khalil, can be deported, the judge recognized he doesn't have the authority to override the Secretary of State. Now, Rubio has demonstrated all of these reasons why he believes this person should be deported, but that's for politics. You understand? What he's doing here in doing so is purely for political reasons. He doesn't have to. He's doing so that there's good PR around this, so that he doesn't get beat up in the media any more than he already will get beat up in the media, that the administration doesn't get beat up in the media. But it's not a requirement for the Secretary of State to demonstrate that. It's the Secretary of State's doing that because the Secretary of State wants people to know why he's doing this, and that's a PR move. Okay, so my guess is I don't know the relief the judge has granted to Khalil up until the 23rd of April and what would change. I don't know what would change in that sense. I haven't read the judge's full opinion on this matter, but Matt, do you understand what the relief that the judge is providing him here is regarding?
I don't know. All I know is he just has.
Oh, you're breaking up there.
Oh, can you hear me?
To request a stay of his deportation.
Okay. Yeah, he has until the 23rd of April.
Okay, so then this is what it means. Then it means this: the judge has said he's going to be deported. He can request a stay on his deportation, but that's only a stay on the deportation. That's not being deported. So the stay could be anywhere from, you know, depending on what he asks, and I don't know what I'm not an immigration attorney, I'm not an attorney, but I mean, the judge could grant him a stay. Theoretically speaking, I would imagine if the law allows, maybe till his wife is has the baby, maybe the judge can grant him a stay for a period of time. Maybe the judge has to get the Secretary of State's okay in that. I don't really know that part of it, but this is not an appeal of the deportation order. This is he is looking to have a stay on the deportation. How long that stay is and what the determination of that, I'm not familiar with how that works under this particular law that the Secretary of State's invoking. But I'm sure we'll find out pretty soon. So in other news, a man in Pennsylvania, well, let's do Murphy first. This is from COVID, all right? With Easter coming up, I thought this would be terrifying to you. Yeah, he may not even qualify for a stay. Yeah, that's true. He may not even qualify for a stay. So we'll see it when that April 23rd. We'll dig into that. Oh, and look, you're talking about the potential health benefits of nicotine on TV. Not smoking cigarettes, but nicotine. You know, the nicotine pouches are all the rage now. So they're looking at that, the health benefits of nicotine. I have some friends who we've been sending these videos around to each other. Apparently, they say that nicotine is a cure for Parkinson's disease and helps your concentration, might fight Alzheimer's, ulcerative colitis, and rheumatoid arthritis, among other things. How about that? But not tobacco. That's different than nicotine. Nicotine's the drug. The tobacco's the delivery mechanism for the nicotine. You know, whether you do nicotine pouches that are just purely nicotine, or if you do tobacco products, those are different. So what time is Coates, by the way, Matt?
She's going to be at 5 o'clock tonight.
5 o'clock. All right. So this is during COVID when we were all locked down in our homes, and it was around this time of year in 2020. And thanks to, I think it was either Wake Up NJ or Jersey Jackass who put this out on X. But either way, thank you for reminding us of the horror show that is King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness, Phil Murphy. During COVID-19, he and his wife, Tammy, the First Lady of New Jersey, proceeded to dress up like furries. You know, furries, like at those weird fetish conventions when adults dress up like animals? That's what they look like in this video. So if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to get to see this and how freaking scary it is. If you're not watching on YouTube, you're welcome because you're not going to have to see this. All right. So Phil Murphy and Tammy Murphy Decide to wish everybody an Easter. Let's play this. I'm gonna. And they wrote the following: Happy Easter. This was dated on Easter of April of 2020. Happy Easter. Love the Murphys. And when you press play on this, you're gonna see him hopping around. He's hopping, and he has a bunny coming out of his jacket. His wife is dressed head to toe in a freaking bunny outfit. Looks like something out of a Stephen King movie, like The Shining or something. When they had that bunny scene in the hotel room, that's what it looks like. All right, go ahead and play it.
Here he comes. Look at who's hopping in.
Hi, First Lady Tammy Murphy.
Governor, how are you today?
I'm very well. Hi, everybody.
We wanted to wish you an incredibly fabulous Easter. We're all stuck at home having our own adventures, as you can see, looking at the two of us. Have a great Easter, and we will see you again next week.
Happy Easter, everybody, and say hi to the Easter Bunny when you see her. Take care.
Oh, it's a she? How do you know the Easter Bunny's pronouns, jackass? What if the Easter Bunny goes by they, them? Huh? I mean, how freaking creepy is that, DeSantis? How creepy is that video? It's so disturbing. I think people are going to need psychological help after watching it.
I was curious if it was filmed in New Jersey or if he shot that in his Italian villa.
Oh, well, they said, and we're locked down because of you, you jerk. You're the one who kept us all locked down in our homes because we're all staying home, peasants. Justin, is that the creepiest thing you've ever seen in your life?
It's definitely up there, especially with the teeth. Every time Murphy smiles, I just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, you see that? Oof, man, those he's got. They're not even bunny teeth; they're freaking summer teeth. And he's got he goes out there, and it's just his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, wishing the peasants a happy Easter. But how does he know the Easter Bunny's gender? Is my question, huh? How does he know the Easter Bunny's a she? What if the Easter Bunny goes by they, them? I would love if the Easter Bunny corrected the governor and said it's they, them. Just like that woman did yesterday to Anderson Cooper. And my pronouns are they, them. That would be fantastic. You see, that's what you would see right there. Well, Navy Prepper says the Easter Bunny's name is Peter Cottontail. Well, yeah, but maybe Navy Prepper, the Easter Bunny, maybe Peter Cottontail now identifies as Patrice Cottontail. Have you ever thought of that? Huh? How do you know the Easter Bunny's gender is? They, them pronouns. Easter. They, them. All right. So a man in Butler, PA has been charged with a crime of threatening to kill President Trump, Elon Musk, and also a host of other officials as well. It's some breaking news here on the show. I'll share that with you upon my return. You're going to want to hear that. And Natural Lawn of America, you know, they do amazing work when it comes to your home. I would love for you to see Natural Lawn of America. Use them in your home, just like I've used them in my home for so many years. Natural Lawn will provide you guaranteed greener grass with fewer weeds, guaranteed. That's the Natural Lawn of America difference right there. So you're going to have safer organic fertilizers. You're going to have insect control, and it's going to be safer for the kids and safer for the pets. Here's the best part. Every year, Natural Lawn of America will seed your lawn for free. That's right. They will seed your lawn for free. Natural Lawn of America. All you got to do is call 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. And they'll come to your home and seed your lawn every year. I love the fact they're a local company. I love the fact that they are a family-owned company. And I love the fact that Natural Lawn of America guarantees the results. And your lawn is different from your neighbor's lawn, even if they're connected. Even if the lawns butt up against each other, your lawn still has different needs, depending on all kinds of different factors. And they factor all those in. Everything from the amount of sun that gets to the shade, water, all of it. So reach out to them today by calling 1-800-FREE-SEED. Get your lawn seeded every year for free. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Just looking at the law itself from the statute that the Secretary of State is looking at, and It says that the appeal of denial of application for removal proceedings, the Attorney General may seek a review of the denial of an order sought in an application filed. The appeal should be filed in the United States Court of Appeals. And the Court of Appeals shall review questions of law de novo and set aside a finding of fact only if such finding was clearly erroneous. Appeal of decision in the hearing in general, the decision of the judge after removal hearing may be appealed by either the alien or the Attorney General to the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia by notice of appeal filed no later than 20 days after the date on which the order is issued. So basically, if you have an alien who lawfully admitted for permanent residence and the Attorney General wants to kick him out, he's entitled to his due process, which – excuse me, the Secretary of State wants to kick him out. He's entitled to his due process, which this man has. But, and again, this is a, I have, I'm not an attorney. I'm not an immigration attorney. I'm not a specialist in this. But as I understand this law, you're pretty screwed here. You know, I don't really see much chance this guy has to get a stay on his deportation. There's a lot of ways the government can define you as being essentially a threat to the United States of America or its allies. And it really gives the government just broad power. Like, for example, they say classes of deportation aliens, any alien, including an alien crewman in and admitted to the United States shall, upon the order of the Attorney General, be removed if the alien is within one or more of the following classes of deportable aliens: inadmissible aliens. Well, that's not this. Present in violation of law, any alien who is present in the United States in violation of this chapter. Non-immigrant status violations, violations of condition of entry, terminations of conditional permanent residence, and I mean, there's a couple of different things, but there's crimes, criminal conviction. There's lots of, I don't see how this guy stands a chance of remaining in this country. Basically, the law gives the government such broad latitude here, as this judge found today in the deportation of Mahmoud Khalil. So, he's now has the ability under the law to request a stay on his deportation. But, you know, any alien whose presence or activities in the United States, the Secretary of State has reasonable ground to believe would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences for the United States is deportable. It doesn't get much more black and white than that. Any alien whose presence or activities, it doesn't say that those activities have to be criminal. It doesn't say that the presence has to be criminal. It literally says presence or activities in the United States, the Secretary has reasonable ground to believe would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences for the United States is deportable. Now, there are some exceptions, the exceptions described. But basically, if you participated in Nazi persecution, genocide, or the commission of any act of torture or extrajudicial killing, then you are deportable. If you participated in the commission of severe violations of religious freedom, if you recruit or use child soldiers, an alien within 5 years after the date of entry has become a public charge is deportable. And then there's a whole bunch of other things, but it's that one particular statute here, the one particular part of the statute that is as black and white as it comes. Under the reasons why somebody who's a lawful permanent resident is deportable. Very simple. It's really just one sentence. Any alien whose presence or activities, so it doesn't have to even be both. The mere presence of that alien in the United States, if the Secretary of State believes that the mere presence of that alien is reasonable grounds to believe that would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences for the United States. That person is deportable. Now, you can argue that that law is way too broad. You can argue that that line is way too broad and is, you know, gives the Secretary of State far too much latitude, not enough due process. It doesn't properly, I mean, activities, presence, but it's pretty black and white. It doesn't say your presence has to be revolting. Your presence has to be obscene. Your presence has to be unkempt. Unkempt. It doesn't have to say your activities have to be illegal or anything. It just says your presence or your activities. Boom. Now you can under the act, you can file for a stay. And the Secretary of State may grant the alien an administrative stay of a final order of removal under this act. But I don't see the Secretary of State doing that in this case. And then the law was later revised to say that the Secretary of Homeland Security can determine the application for not. Well, that's an application, so that's different. So basically, as the judge has ruled in this case of this Columbia student, and said, I don't have the authority to overrule the Secretary of State because the law is so black and white here. It's so black and white. Bottom line, if the Secretary of State believes that the presence or activities of this alien, even if you are a lawful permanent resident, a green card holder, you're deportable. So that's that. He's deportable. End of it. He can apply for a stay of the deportation. There's no guarantee that he'll get one. And as I understand this, and again, I'm not an attorney, I'm not an immigration attorney, I'm not an attorney at all. But as I understand it, that determination is made by the Secretary of State of the United States. So I think this guy is gone. This Mahmoud Khalil guy, I think he's gone. I don't see how he is able to survive that. Now, does that mean then that he can, does he have the ability under the law to appeal the deportation order by the judge? No, I don't see that. Once that deportation order by the judge has been ruled, he's toast. So now it's just a matter of when. Incidentally, the Supreme Court has ordered the United States to facilitate the return of that Maryland man who was sent to El Salvador. I'll tell you what Caroline Levitt said that about today at the White House press briefing in the 5 o'clock hour when we get into that. But no, if you're just joining us, that's the breaking news that Mahmoud Khalil will be deported. The judge has ruled that the Secretary of State is well within his rights to do so, and he is under the statute. And I just read you the line of the statute. I go the extra mile. That's what I do as a host. I go the extra mile for you. Some hosts would be lazy and just, you know, read it, just rest on their laurels. Not me. I get a break. What do I do in my break? I look up the statute. I read the statute. I find the relevant part. That's what I do for you. Well, who else does that for you? I mean, who else? Not many. Maybe others. But who else at the same time did that was also going to make sure that the pizza dough was ready to go into the oven tonight? So I did both during my break. All right. That's how efficient I was. And I still managed to get back here in 3 minutes. So just saying. I wasn't even late. It was close, but nevertheless, Matt DeSantis says, I read that statute to you, that line from the statute. It's pretty black and white, is it not?
Sounds pretty clear to me. I'm very impressed that you're able to find that while catering to the pizza dough. I'm very impressed and also jealous because, as you know, I'm in Arizona right now. I would kill for good pizza, and yet we do not have it.
Yeah, well, tonight's going to be in the home oven, and it's not the outdoor wood-fired pizza oven. It's raining. It's just going to be in the standard home oven. But I'm going with the pizza steel tonight. I'm putting the pizza on the pizza steel, which I learned you have to put on the top rack right underneath the broiler for an hour to get hot.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
What kind? So what, at 6 o'clock, what toppings I have a talking?
What's that?
What kind of toppings are we talking?
Well, it's Friday in Lent, so I technically can't eat meat, although I think that's a fugazi, but, you know. but my son is a pepperoni guy, and he's under 14, so he's allowed to eat pepperoni. But we're going to rock a margarita pie tonight and a grandma pie, which is basically a margarita but in a pan. So
nice.
Yeah. But the pizza steel, I have a timer set on my phone, so it's 6 p.m., I will remind my wife to turn the broiler on so that pan will heat up for an hour under. And I only found this because I found this YouTube video of this guy who said, I didn't realize that when using a pizza stone, don't use a pizza stone, use a pizza steel. It's better, way better. But the mistake that I was making was that I was putting it on the bottom rack, but the broiler is up top. So you want to put it on the top rack right under that broiler to get it nice and hot. Because my oven does not have a rack underneath the way my oven. So it depends on your oven, where you want to place that. If you place it on the bottom or the top. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
Yeah. So
speaking of pizza, I've been dying to ask you this. Did you see the story about Queen Camilla visiting Italy? They gave her a pizza to, I guess, celebrate her wedding anniversary. What'd you think of the pizza? It didn't look that great to me. You haven't seen
it. It did not look that great to me either. Do you know where in Italy it was? Because that was the question that I had.
I'm not entirely sure. I think it was Rome. Italy,
it was Rome, yeah. See,
there's a margarita pizza in Rome.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad pizza in Italy. It's like New York City. There's a lot of bad pizza in New York City. There's a lot of bad pizza in Italy. You know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah. I was surprised. I shouldn't say bad, but there were some pizzas that I had while I was there that I thought were underwhelming, and I was expecting to be blown away by every pizza that I tried. Not the case.
Not the case. And depending on the region you're in, some places it's just awful. But you know who's in on the wood-fired pizza game now?
Who's
you know
that?
Who? President Trump. I think I inspired him. At Trump Tower in New York, they now have Trump Pizza, a wood-fired pizza oven in New York City at Trump Tower in New York. So I think I inspired him. I think I was the inspiration for him on that. I'd like to take credit for that. Yeah, that looks terrible, the picture. Can we put that up on the YouTube chat at some point?
Yeah, I'm sending
we'll come
it
back
to
it
Justin
at 5
right
o'clock
now.
Hour. That looks, yeah, that looks bad. Where's the hot prime minister? Where's Giorgia Meloni in all this?
Yeah, she was not there from what I saw. I'm sure they met up at some point, but she wasn't there to help Queen Camilla eat that margarita pie.
I mean, she would say that that's the disgrazia. That there's way too much cheese on that, first of all. Look at that. That looks floppy. Portnoy would give that like a 4-2, I bet you.
That's my problem with it. It looks undercooked. I like a crispy pizza, and that it looks like it's barely touched flame.
That looks like a Little Caesars pizza. All right, Justin, load that picture up for the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to do a deep dive on this in the next hour. This is an outrage, my people. And I love Giorgia Meloni. She's my favorite. She's my favorite prime minister, except for or leader of a free world, except for Javier Milei, who's not Trump, I mean. So, but I get a soft spot for her because she's my people, you know. But Javier Milei is crushing it, too. I mean, that guy's a man. So, just saying. I was the Giolitti Cafe in Roma. I don't know. I'm going to send that around to my people. Justin, what? I don't know. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. Maybe we'll ask Dr. Victoria Coates her opinion on that from an international foreign policy perspective. We have a big 5 o'clock hour straight ahead for you. Breaking news all over the place. A man in Butler has been charged with threats against President Trump. Don't go away.